This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast. The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com, for the coolest hockey shirts, stickers, hats, and hoodies you're going to find anywhere. One of our favorites right now happens to be the Colorado Hockey hoodie. This is the pullover one, not the zip-up one. The zip-up one is cool too, but the pullover is currently our favorite because it's the newest and we're like that. You should check it out because it has 1,000 warm hugs on the inside that run all the way through the sleeve. There's a kangaroo pouch for your hands that would even fit if you had gloves in it. Think outdoor game here. And then there's a hoodie big enough for a hockey head as big as mine. Check it out. See if you love it. And if you do, get it. And if you really love it, get it for somebody else who loves you and loves hockey too. Today is a special day because we have a guest who's going to span two different podcasts, a part one and a part two, because we talked for so long because he was that interesting. He is none other than Chris Wassell, who is the fantasy hockey guru of gurus, the god of gods, and the grand poobah of all things cool when it comes to fantasy hockey. He enlightens me on some things that I didn't know, and we talk in depth about hockey, about fantasy hockey, about players, about experiences he's had, and other cool things. So before we get too far, though, let's have a little conversation about the last game in Washington. Holy hell, what the hell was that? The Colorado Avalanche had a brutal showing in the first period, and that lasted through the rest of the game, too. I thought they might pull it back together, but they didn't. The Caps were popping, the Avs were not playing good hockey, and if I told you anything short of something needs to change, I'd be talking out of my ass. And quite frankly, you can get that anywhere else. There's plenty of shows where they're talking out their ass and giving you stats. I want to talk to you about some stuff that I think is real, something that gets past the emotion, and something that has to do with real change. Now, I know right away, all you were thinking, oh, he's going to talk about, let's fire Waugh. Oh, let's trade Barry. Let's trade Duchesne. Let's trade Barley. Let's trade Barra. Let's trade everyone. Let's don't trade anyone, actually. You know why? Because I think that we might have to come to the realization that we're not going to win the Stanley Cup this year, and we're probably not going to make the playoffs. I know it sucks. I'm still a fan. I watch every game. I get excited every game. Every time I get depressed, I come back, and I'm ready to win again. It's not that I'm not a fan anymore. It's just if we're being real, and we're talking about real change, I think that has to come from the players intrinsically. I think that we need our players to find their game, find a way to gel. We need the players to go, you know what? This isn't even about coaches anymore, guys. Come on, we got this. Play for the guy next to you. We need wins right now. So don't even pretend that we're a skill team. We are. It's not important. And don't even pretend like we need to make all these fancy moves to get us on anything else other than the win column. We need to go out there and just outplay the other guys. If we're doing that, our skill is going to shine. Our skill is going to show. We're going to start winning games, but we have to compete. We have to win every battle, and we have to play 85 minutes, even if there's only 60. Okay, we all know what's up, so I'm going to let that go because I really want to get to the Chris Wassell interview. This guy's fantastic. He's amazing. He is everything that I didn't know that he was. I did this podcast with him because I wanted to get my hands around fantasy hockey, and it turned into so much more. He has a lot of stories, a lot of experience, and he shares it in a really, truly entertaining way. So without any further ado, I give you the amazing, the powerful, the wonderful Chris Wassell. Oh, and as always, we just kind of jump in. So here's me starting things off. I am looking right now at a sample fact sheet, and the fact sheet, well, okay, let's start with this. First of all, you have the Colorado Avalanche as a weak defense. That was a timely pause. I was just being silly. I know we're weak. So the fact sheet, do you put this together?
Actually, yeah, I do a couple days a week. One of the big things for the fake hockey is they have a big, huge cheat sheet for daily fantasy subscribers. It's comprehensive. I mean, it has everything from which players are hot, which players are cold, which players you prayfully want to take a risk on. Like tonight, for example, the new Winnipeg line two, which seems to magically have just torched the entire DFS landscape for one night. But it's one of those. It's not the most exact science, but it somehow works more than 90% of the time. So people keep coming back.
So do me a favor before we get too far and just give people an idea of who you are and what you do and where you do it.
Quite simply, Chris Wassell, you may have seen me in such films as Fantasy Hockey 101, Unsafe at Any Speed. Also, obviously, over at DauberHockey.com. Today's Slapshot.com. I did work last year for DraftKings. Apparently, I made too much money for people. They told me not to come back. All sort of other places. I'll be working soon with the hockey guys. And in January, I'll be starting some nice fine numbers and statistics for DFS hockey over at RotoCurve.com.
So you're no rookie. I mean, this is your 9 to 5 then. This is what you do. All day long?
This is pretty much it, along with a few other things and I'm in a part-time job. It's pretty much me.
So is it fair to say if you won the lottery, this is what you would do with your time? If you didn't have to do anything with your time, this is still something that gets you out of bed, inspires you, and keeps your brain moving?
I would still absolutely do this. I do cover the Devils on the side. I do have part season credentials with them. So if I won $10 million tomorrow, I'd still be doing this.
Okay, so you're a writer then too. I mean, you have to forgive me for not knowing a whole lot about you, but that's kind of how I like to walk into these, is I'd like to just kind of hear it from you. Like, I think that there is this hockey ecosphere out there that is just fascinating when you get to the sort of underbelly of it and all the things that people don't realize are happening out there, the people collecting stats, the people who are actually in the press box, some of them ex-players, and the knowledge that they can share with people. So I'd like to explore it from the ground up on that. And it sounds like you've been at this a while then?
I have actually been at this on and off for well over a decade. Fantasy sports-wise, I've been playing fantasy hockey since it was basically a newspaper, a pen, and a pencil. I've done that for the past 25 years, actually.
So I wanted to talk to you about the origins of fantasy hockey, and it sounds like we just transitioned into that. So tell me, how did fantasy hockey, or not fantasy hockey, fantasy sports come to be? Because I don't believe that fantasy hockey has quite the stoutness of like a fantasy football. It almost seems like it's kind of the joke in the fantasy world. If I'm wrong, correct me by all means, but it seems like people just don't give the same credit they do the other sports.
It's absolutely true, actually. People don't realize that actually the first sport that was created was fantasy baseball. About a little over 30 years ago, there was a mysterious secret meeting in a room with about five or six people, and they magically formed this fantasy baseball league. It mushroomed into other sports. I can say I was proudly one of the first members of a fantasy hockey league back in 1987. Basically just a group of us, about 8 to 10 people. We played the league. We played until this day, actually. The league still is going, laughably enough. And we don't play for cash. We never have. But wow, it's hard to believe after 28 years that now even fantasy hockey, for all its the jokes and all the craziness and all people say, oh, it's not really much of a sport, we're still here. That's the best way to describe it. We're like the bad kids in the back of the class, throwing spitballs at the fantasy baseball guys and the fantasy football guys, and even to a lesser extent now, the fantasy basketball guys, the fantasy college football guys, and yeah, you might as well throw in, even some of the other, even the fantasy soccer guys. We're the guys throwing spitballs at them, basically, still.
Soccer, that's a thing, huh? I wouldn't have guessed that one. I mean, I guess it's a really big deal across the world.
Internationally, it's insane. I know one of the guys that runs Mondo Goal, which is an excellent DFS soccer site of all things. And the guy's like, he said it to me. He's like, Chris, this is insanity. He's like, I can sit there on a Saturday morning while the English Premier League is playing. He's like, I'll watch the numbers and they just spike before 7 a.m. Eastern time. He's like, you cannot believe the amount of readership that we get. And like he said over there, because he's over in London, sports betting is widely legal, and you can bet until you're dead in the gutter. You really can.
You were saying that you the league you were talking about, you guys never play for cash. Are you in other leagues where you do? I mean, is that a thing? Is it fair to say that fantasy sports is kind of a form of gambling?
It's, you know what? Let's call it for what it is. If I put money on anything, no matter if it's for skill or luck, I'm essentially gambling my money on it. I'm putting my hard-earned money on the line against other guys in the presumption that I'm going to win and make more money.
And for the most part, there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's making it interesting. I mean, sure, you can take it to a level where there's going to be a problem with it, but that's true of anything in life, everything in life. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm trying to understand what the appeal is. Like, you know, it sounds simple to say, but why do people do this? What do they get out of it? Is it bragging rights? Does it make it feel good? Does it keep them busy when they would, you know, be doing something else instead that's bad for them. I'm really interested in why people come to it and why people stick with it.
The biggest why in this, and I know this from fantasy daily football players from this perspective. The game got to a certain point where it was, oh, it's a football game. It's nice. I can play these guys in season long, et cetera. But after 5 or 6 weeks, oh, my team is 0-6 already, and oh, I just don't really want to watch football that much. My team is 0-6 too. This is just an awful – I don't want to follow football. Now it's every single week you're following the sport. No matter what. Oh, I need 2 points from this guy to win $500. Sure, it's a facetious example, but it absolutely occurs every single week with fantasy football, and it occurs with other sports too. I mean, I'm actually online with a guy right now that I help work with fantasy hockey lineups, and he's literally like, yeah, I'm like a half point from like about a $500 payday. And that's the allure in it. And his team right now is the Edmonton Oilers, which is, well, yeah, it's the Edmonton Oilers after all. The Oilers are gonna oil.
I'm staring at that tweet right now. The Oilers gonna oil. Well played.
It's perfect timing. But that's the allure, the truest allure of daily fantasy sports right now.
Oh, I was
the very fact that you get into it facetiously through these players, and hopefully you win something along the way,
which is always a bonus. So, is there any comparison at all if you were to say that fantasy sports is a bit like the stock market, where you become—I mean, not just invested in the traditional sense of it, where you put money on it. I guess you do in some cases, but you just become invested more in the game and what's happening, and you definitely tie emotions to it and things like that. Like, I probably wouldn't know as much about some players had I not gone out to try to figure out if they were any good on paper or not, if their stats were any good. So it's almost like marketing people should be loving this up, and teams should be pushing this left and right. I think some of them are. I've seen on the Avalanche games, the in-between periods they have, I think DraftKings comes up and they tell you what their picks were. So it's clearly a paid spot, but it's also really interesting. Is any of that true?
It's absolutely true. I mean, me and Ken Danico from the Devils go back from, got to be a good 20 years now. Back in my younger days when they somehow let me sneak into the Devils locker room during the 95 final celebration. It's pretty funny. It's like, you're not of age to drink. It doesn't matter. Sentiment. Going back a little bit, and he even said this, we all know what it is. And he put it best. Look, we know that they're putting gambling in the search engines. That's what's driving the views, the money, and everything else up. We know this already. But there's nothing wrong with putting a few bucks on players that you think are going to do well. And it's very much like the stock market. You invest in these players. You look at the stats. You look at, in some cases, some advanced stats. You look at how a player fares on a Tuesday night in the middle of January. If you have to.
It's better if you mean something, right? I mean, this isn't just participation trophies and things like that. It's better if it means something, and if it hurts a little bit when you don't do well, it makes it
fun. It makes it a challenge. I mean, look, are there stat geek guys that sit there with scripts and computer-based algorithms and such? I'm sure. Go have fun with that. I mean, you know, if they're winning hundreds of thousands of dollars, so be it. But the honest to goodness truth is this. Any person can do this and pull it off. And for every person that says that it's not, I can point to people that I know that have won, God, hundreds of thousands of dollars without having to need these complex computer programs.
What is your method? How do you pick? Is it just in your brain, gut feelings? I mean, just being around it so much, you kind of have a plan, or do you rely on numbers and stats and fact sheets and things like that?
Biggest thing is a little bit of everything. you cannot rely on one method on any given night. If you do not at least adapt a little bit to what's around you, cruelest lesson tonight, and I can see it now, I have one lineup that has 4 points, and I have one lineup that has 51. I mean, I have a lineup with Alex Ovechkin, okay, and I have 4 freaking points.
Is he the best guy out there right now? I was going to ask you this later, who the best player is in the league, but...
The Ovechkins, obviously, you know, guys that aren't playing tonight, Ben and Sagan, are just ridiculous. Even Leon Draisaitl is so ridiculously cheap that he becomes the best player. But at least, like I joked at you earlier, one of the entries I have is actually third from dead last. That's the one with Ovechkin in it.
Wow.
It's just one of those nights, unfortunately. Sometimes if you don't have the right line or two, especially, look, there's three games on a Wednesday night. If you don't hit the right line or two, you're dead in the water. On a night where there's, say, maybe 8 or 10 or 12 games, you have more chances. That's the challenge in this. It's every night is different. And I think that's what keeps people coming back also. It's just, you never know.
So I kind of feel like it's impossible to truly just kind of dip your foot in this pool and see if you like it. Because it seems like you're either in or you're not. You're truly invested in this. You're going to spend the time to try to be good at it, or you're just not. And I know there's things like NHL Hat Trick, but that just seems like gamified marketing to me. It doesn't really seem like it's truly anything close to fantasy sports. But is that true? Is it possible to just kind of dabble? Or is it, you pretty much have to be in?
No, you can absolutely dabble in this. And as a matter of fact, for, I would say, the first year or so, that's exactly what I did. I picked my spots. I kind of sat there and just played with it. And it worked pretty well. I got more and more well-versed in the vernacular and how to play things and how to work lineups, et cetera. But that's not for everybody either. Some people just want to legitimately get in, play a few lineups, play every so often, and get out. And maybe they only want to play once a week or so. And you can do that. And you put a couple bucks in here and there and see what happens. It's not everybody sits there and puts down $50, $100, $500 a night.
I've seen the commercials. You can make a whole year's worth of money
in a night.
So that's actually what kind of intrigued me.
You can legitimately do that.
You know, I'm a family guy with kids and wife and things like that. So it freaks me out that I would ever bank on that. But I imagine there's people out there who have a lifestyle that they can take a big hit if they lose a lot of money. I don't know. I mean, do you ever lose money? I guess you would have to, right?
Oh, you have to. You look in anything. You play the lottery. You're gonna lose a lot more.
Probably, yeah.
Before you make anything. If you go down to, say, you go to a casino, you're going to lose a good bit before you win. Sometimes you get lucky. I joke with people and say, oh, there's always the story of my fiance. We got engaged in Vegas over the summer, and I took her out for dinner. She wound up paying for it. I felt bad because it was an expensive dinner. You know, you pop $300 for a dinner. Okay, that's a decent amount of money. So I gave her $20. Go play the slots. And I gave her $20. You know, I was going to give her $20 to put on a bet on a hockey team, but I didn't. I gave her play slots. She plays a couple things. I let her play a couple things. Bounced around. Next thing I know, I turn around and I hear this loud sort of siren going. $550 later, she comes back and looks at me and goes, is this good enough?
Wow.
And that's the kind of thing sometimes daily fantasy sports is. You could sit there, make a lineup, put $20 down. I watched it with a guy the other night and he hit for $1,000. I gave him a lot.
That can't be the only reason people play though, right? I mean, I know that's addictive and I know that's, something that would entice people to want to do it, but there has to be this underlying
No,
intrinsic
no.
need or in value in it for people too.
There's absolutely the intrinsic value that package.
Oh, sorry, you're cutting out on me here just a little bit. Chris, you there? Hey, sorry, I think you were cutting out on me a little bit. Are you back yet? I blame this on New Jersey if you can hear me. Hold on just one second. Okay, Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, I can hear you again. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened there. What were you telling me?
The theory that you really fantasy sport, whether it's hockey, basketball, able to follow most every team now. It's not just, oh, my team sucks. I don't really want to, watch them lose 5-0 on a now it's like, oh, well, what is so doing in Calgary? Hey, did all kidding aside, for that, they also come back for the community as well. It sounds crazy, but there is a community of players that really do kind of, look out for each other. It's an imperfect thing. Everybody knows it. There is a level where, especially with the bigger companies, that there has to be some sort of regulation. Everyone often ambiguities of the law itself. No one's really quite sure how this is going to all go, because there's certain laws that say, okay, this is illegal, and there's certain laws that say, well, technically because of a loophole, or hey, we want a cut of this because you're making a lot of money. We want our piece too, so we're going to try and secretly start our own product. That's already going on in some states. There's states that are already trying to do a framework of what their version of daily fantasy sports would be like. I know three states that are trying it already.
Who are those?
Nevada is one.
Okay, that seems obvious. Go on.
Massachusetts is another. They're trying to pass a bill to get a DFS-like lottery for all sports. And the third one is the one that maybe proved to be the most hypocritical of all, that nobody wants you to know about if you're in New York, but it would be New York. I know casinos in Yonkers, the one big casino in Yonkers of all places, which is a little bit north of New York City, has been trying for the past 2 or 3 years to get daily fantasy sports into their casino. Atlantic City had kiosks that were starting to be built, but because of, again, the law and its oddities and loopholes, and the fact that New Jersey wants sports betting in the worst way, it hasn't happened yet. There's a lot of, unfortunately, I wish there were clearer answers, but unfortunately with this, there isn't.
So, are you a fan at all of the UFC?
I actually am.
So, these guys have been battling laws and regulations and organizations for a long, long time. But one of the things that that kind of turned me onto the fantasy thing too is that I saw that they started doing sort of these betting odds. Just you can basically bet on who's going to win the fights. And to me, that's dead simple. That's, one or zero. It's binary. It's like I pick this guy or I pick that guy. It's not a team of people. It's not a left wing, a right wing, and so on. And so for me, it was really intriguing because it was so simple. And I'm a huge fan of the UFC. I mean, martial arts in general. But, the UFC is actually, I think, 21 years ago last week, started here in Denver at McNichols Arena. And it's such a game changer now. I mean, I care pretty much zero about boxing at this point because it's just boring to me. There's not enough in the mix there. There's not enough of different things going on. It's all just sort of that sweet science of punching one guy in the head and not getting hit as much as possible. So for me, I mean, I really get that. These I imagine they make a ton of money on the bet and the odds that they do, but I've seen it kind of presented as almost a sort of a fantasy league too now, where you can actually pick a fighter over three fights and make sort of your bets based on that. Have you done any of that?
I dabbled in it a little bit. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I picked Holm over Rousey. I had to.
Did you really? Oh,
yes, I did. You know, yes, I did.
Every yes, fight, I can make a case for the other fighter, and this is the one where I was like, you know what? It's not going to happen. It never, ever happens. It's always the girl who's going to beat her, but it never happens, and sure enough, it happened. And it wasn't subtle. I mean, she dominated
no.
her.
No, that was pure brutality and ugliness, and you know what, I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
Not just because it was Ronda Rousey, but just because you always like to see when a newcomer comes in and just batters the living daylights out of an old incumbent, not old, but an incumbent champion.
Right, and she worked so hard. This isn't her first go around. She has been fighting people her whole life, really. So, I mean, there's a great story on both sides. It kind of sucked to see Rousey lose, but at the same time, it was amazing to see Holm win. It was, you know, for me, I was completely happy. I mean, you never want to see somebody lose that you think is a good fighter and a good ambassador for their sport, especially on the women's side. But I don't know. I was fist pumping in the middle of the living room pretty late at night too.
Hey, you know what? I have to be honest. I was too. I mean, I always thought that Rousey was starting to get too locked into one style, and she just had this fiery aggression. And to be honest, she looked a little out of shape in Sydney, and she got caught. And she got caught early, middle, yep. late, often, almost every second. It felt like. And it just happens sometimes. I mean, I'm not surprised that she's taking a medical, quote unquote, leave or suspension or whatever you want to call it.
I think it's a great idea for her. We were going to talk concussions anyways, or I was going to. But I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, you can't underrate what happens when you rattle somebody's brain like that, and you have to let it recover. And believe it or not, I think the UFC does a great job of making fighters take the time off. And I know they're working on a facility right now for rehab that's, you know, going to be top of the line in the United States, and a lot of it's going to have to do with that. But it's a fascinating sport, and the way that they, you know, it's all on the line. You either end up on your back. Sometimes there's a decision, but for the most part, I mean, it's sort of what I was talking about. It's binary. You win or you lose, and it's dramatic either way, and I really like that.
Yeah, there's a kind of finality to it. And I noticed even that with some of the other daily fantasy sports now, you see sort of that pick'em aspect to it. Draft Ops has started to do that. It's kind of a league sponsored by Rich Eisen, of all people. Eisen actually put probably about a good $3 to $5 million of his own money into it. Amazingly, it's worked rather well because it capitalizes on that very simple. You pick a few players, they do well, and it's not, oh God, I got to pick a left winger or a right winger or this. There's no salary cap. So it's just a simple pickup. And that does make it easier. There's no question about it. So what you're seeing with the UFC daily, you're starting to see in other sports and formats.
So are you familiar with Hutt from EA Sports? Sort of the online gaming version, I guess, of fantasy hockey?
Yes, I am.
Like, pretty familiar? Because I've dabbled a little bit there again, but I was curious to know what you think of that. Because you talked about the idea of a fantasy sports league kind of starting, you know, in a back room and then in a newspaper with a pencil and things like that. But technology is changing everything, and I don't think it's not present here either. I mean, I think the technology is changing the way we watch sports in a big, big way. Social media is huge in that area, but how is it changing the fantasy hockey league, and is it for the better?
You know what? Part of me thinks it is. I can sit there and with much more efficiency be able to set my lineups. I can get news at a much faster rate than I used to. I can remember the pain of sitting there and going, well, what were those late night scores last night?
Yeah,
damn, and if we're being... it's not in my paper yet. Oh crap! All right, so I gotta wait for Tom Mies and SportsCenter at 11 a.m. All right, hold on a minute. Damn, you know, you had to literally sit there and compile the stats manually. Obviously, you don't have to do that anymore. There's all sorts of office pools and fan tracks and sites that do that even for you, for your own customized leagues. And that's extremely beneficial. It takes so much time out. It used to take us 2 to 3 hours a day sometimes on bigger nights just to add up the stats and figure out how many points and who was leading, et cetera. And before your head-to-head playoffs started, it was even worse because you had to figure out tiebreakers by yourself. And there was arguments because, oh, you're in fifth place, and if you carried a one here, you'd be in fourth in the playoffs. Now there's no guesswork with it.
And the stats are instant, it seems like, anymore. I was going to ask you as well, is Corsi relevant in fantasy hockey?
It is relevant to the extent in which you use it. Now, what I mean by that is simple. If you are a fan of, say, the Calgary Flames last year, was Corsi honestly relevant in as far as their team for fantasy hockey? No. Because literally, Calgary's first line could have had the worst game of the night. And you'd look some nights down and, oh, Gaudreau had 3 points. Monahan had 2 points. Hudler had 2 points. And the Flames somehow managed to win 4-3 in overtime. And that happened a lot last year.
And yeah, there's always the fluke factor, I guess.
And 2 years ago, it happened with Colorado.
Yes, it did, famously. But I'm a fan of the Avalanche, by the way, so that was a pain you were hearing from me, is that I wish we had some more fluky years like that. Currently, we're not amazing.
You know what, though? There's a team about 8 miles from me in New York City that's actually worse. This is why Corsi is so flippant in this sense. The Rangers, for example, are the fifth worst team in allowing high-danger scoring chances, which is based off Corsi. And obviously they have 14 wins already. So
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Is it relevant? For some teams, yes. For some teams, no. So that absolutely directly applies to fantasy hockey. Is it relevant? It depends on the team that you're looking at, or depends on the group of players you're looking at on your fantasy team. For some, it's going to be. For some, it's not.
You know, so when there's somebody like me who's looking to dabble, looking to dip my toes in the pool,
right,
and see if I like this, what is the most common resource that you send to people? A link or a book that you would share with people? What is the kind of the default get started? I'm hoping it doesn't end with Four Dummies, but if it does, that's cool.
No, you know what? Actually, it doesn't at all. Biggest thing you can do if you want to take the plunge as far as season long hockey, I say go right into a random league. Or if you know enough friends to form a league that way. Go with the simplest settings you can. Don't make it complex. And just start looking before the season or whatever. Start looking at teams casually. Hey, maybe this team's going to be good or this team's going to be good. If you have a general hockey sense, the best thing to do is to dabble. Actually, you're never going to know if you actually like something until you try it even just a little bit. People don't go head first into things anymore like they used to. They really don't. You have to dabble. It has to draw your interest.
I'm totally guilty of this too, that I don't fail enough. I think in general, people are afraid to fail. And often,
yes. You
know, when you find every way to fail is when you start to get really good. And being a human, you spot patterns pretty quick, at least if you're paying attention. So that was kind of my pep talk for this, mm-hmm. is that I was going to get into a league that was sort of a sandbox. There was no money on the table and probably with people I don't even know, and just go for it. And if I fail in flames, you know, just go out gloriously, but just go and try to find every way to do this wrong and see where I get lucky or see where things work. That kind of sounds like what you're saying, is that just go for it, jump in.
It's exactly true. The funniest thing is I saw this the other day and I happened to know the guy a little bit. The Vegas guy that I happened to meet in June randomly. He bets the dead exact opposite of what he picks. I wish I was kidding. For 3 or 4 years, he tried to make it as sort of a quasi-handicapper as a part-time job. And he kept realizing that every time he picked a team, about two-thirds of the time, he'd lose. So last year, mid or late last year, he decides to turn the tables a little bit, and he goes, okay, you know what? I'm going to put out these picks. You pick the opposite, and I bet you'll win. And the guy has a 68% success rate now. Literally.
Which is good, right?
Which is really good. And in hockey, I think it's 77%. It's insane. I mean, you know, given the variance of the first 5-6 weeks of the season, 77% is just ridiculously good. If I could win on 77% of my DFS lineups in hockey, I'd be really freaking happy right now.
You sound pretty happy, but I bet you'd be really happy fist pumping.
I'd be fist pumping. I'd be downing some shots and bottles of good wine. I'm not going to deny it. Like, let's go. But that's the kind of thing. You have to fail a little bit. There has to be some kind of humility, because if there isn't, then what's the point? What's the point of playing something if you're going to constantly have a fear of failure?
Yeah, and you know, I think this is definitely rounding me out pretty good. I'm feeling like I'm going to be good at this already, or really bad, whichever way. But you know, I'm thinking maybe just a geek out on this and do like an A/B test and be in the league with one that you're betting what you think it should be, and the other one just betting the exact opposite, and just see what happens. I'm already getting myself into two leagues. I think I'm more than dipping my foot all of a sudden.
Yeah, the best absolute way is to experiment. I did it about 2 years ago with Daily Fantasy Sports. I was like, you know what? I'll try it a little. I'll play with it. I'll see what happens and such. And now it's like, hey, wait a minute. I'm pretty good at this. Hey, you know what? I'm even better at teaching people this. I think I got something here.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was fortunate enough to be able to run into quite a few people that knew this a little more than I do, you know, and had come in at, say, more of the infancy of Daily Fantasy Sports, or closer to it than myself. And they're like, hey, let's do a fantasy hockey daily, a daily show, basically do DFS, hockey. And it's like, well, I don't know what kind of listenership it's going to get. I'm not really sure about this. I hate Blog Talk Radio. At the time I was literally just segueing away from Blog Talk, because I got tired of paying $40 a month for getting constantly booted off. Because sadly, the one thing that they had, their high definition beta, actually worked for me and no one else. Every week it was great. I never had a problem. I could bring on guests. I didn't have to worry about the sound being all screwed up. I actually sounded somewhat normal, and then they took it away. And at that point, it's like, oh, I'm back to getting hung up on 3 times. The Skype goes dead. My co-host connection just is hanging in the water, or I can hear the worst echo in the history of New Jersey. And at that point, I was like, screw it. All right, I'm going to a different format. Do I really want to start another show on top of the one show I'm doing already? And in the year and change that we've done it, the listenership's gone up. People ask us the craziest questions. I'd be the first one. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't that way. But that's different.
Well, I've been sitting here all day. I've been sitting in this waiting room. And I've been waiting on my friends. Yes, I'm waiting on this conference call all alone. And I'm on hold. Well, yes, I'm on hold. I hope it's not all day.
Hey, Chris, you there?
That was actually really cool.
What's that?
The nice hold music that I just got.
I'm so glad you got it, because this never happens. This service has been nothing but solid for me. So to have it fail on me, and it did a little bit earlier too, but I could see you were talking and I could get enough of the words to figure out right. what you were saying and go with it. But yeah, this is the first time I've really had something like this. And I'm not convinced it's not just my local connection. We have some weather here in Colorado, by the way, but yeah, I don't know which one you heard, but they're hilarious. I almost prefer to let people get on the phone before me to hear it.
Yeah, I had it just like, you know, soak it in admittedly. It's like, man, you know, it's nice that you're on hold and hopefully it won't be long. I was like, okay, this is good. I mean, it's got a nice driving beat. Okay, it's catchy. It's good stuff. I mean,
it loosens people up, you know, too, especially when they have to wait for you.
Hey, I don't mind at all. That's much better than typical elevator music or the old Block Talk Radio techno music that they used to have. Although that was funny. It was only amusing if you were, say, half drunk or okay, completely wasted.
Yeah, that would have been funny for me last night. I have to tell you, I was struggling, and then I got a nap in before this call, so I'm better now. But I was that close to saying we can't do this because I had a glass of wine that turned into a bottle, and I guess that happened.
That sounds like me. It sounds like me and my fiance, actually. You know, we entertain a good bit. You know, our friends, you know, I'm fortunate to know enough hockey friends that basically you sit there with hockey people and it's like, oh, you have alcohol? Oh, well, what kind of alcohol do you have? Oh, you have Canadian beer? Oh, okay.
And if we're being awesome, alcohol, or if we're being honest, alcohol's great. It's, I don't know. I mean, I used to smoke too, and I never hated smoking. I just hated the way it made me feel. And eventually I had to quit that, but I love alcohol. Alcohol's the best. And a good wine, once you learn how to appreciate a wine, it's fantastic. And I got this book called The Scratchless Enough Guide to Wine. It's amazing. It's not as cheesy as you would think that it is. It's one that I found from a Tim Ferriss podcast and some guy he had on there that he knows his wine. He's official. I can't even say the word that he is, but he's the official guy. Anyways, we got derailed there, didn't we? You know what? I wasn't going to make you go all night anyway, so how about I ask you just a couple more of the rapid-fire questions, and then we can wrap it up. And, I mean, if you're interested, we could talk for a long time if you're willing to do it, and we could do some future ones too, but why don't we pick it back up a couple questions that would be relevant to the listener base that I have, which is almost all Colorado Avalanche fans, and ask you basically if I had to pick five players for my team, who would you pick for the purpose of fantasy hockey?
Okay.
Before you get into that, let me ask one more caveat to that question. Also, knowing that people like Duchesne are on the trade block, or supposedly so, does that change how you would pick them too?
Absolutely not, because I can tell you right off the bat that Duchesne will not be traded anytime soon.
I really like you right now. Go on. I'm a huge fan of Duchesne.
He's not. Let's put it this way. He may outlast some hint, a certain coach in Colorado.
That was on the list too, but yeah, I know. I don't know. I saw it's another one of your tweets. Actually, somebody was explaining the wall situation. It had something to do with you have the keys to the door, then you don't have to leave, or something like that.
You can always be booted out.
Well, as a GM too, so Joe Sakic's not, you know, completely safe here either. I think at any point the front office can go, this is a business, and you guys aren't putting seats together, so we're going to make a move.
It's a heavy. I know it's a heavy concern in Colorado. It's underlying. It's not completely up to the surface yet. But hey, it's, you know, if you're sitting there and you're making a good cheese fondue for your alcohol pleasure that night, you know, the fondue is starting to bubble just a little bit. The natives are definitely getting restless in the upper front office. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I'd like to see it turn around, but I don't think you're wrong. I think that you only get so long as a coach, maybe not even as long as a player would, or at least a guy that is considered to be elite or possibly even franchise like Duchesne. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I think you can really only have one franchise player unless it's a goalie and a skater, and I think that's probably MacKinnon at this point. Did we mention that we really like talking to people? especially this long form where you get to know people a little bit. I mean, the first 5 or 10 minutes, you know, everybody's on their game. They're representing who they are and what they do. But then you break into these conversations that you didn't expect to happen, and they're awesome. We went from hockey to UFC. We talked about his experiences, some fantasy in there, and we have a whole another 45 minutes of this to go in part two, which you should totally check out when we post it. It's coming soon, but before we let you go, you should know this was brought to you by Avs Fam. You know that already. You're awesome. They're awesome. You should totally get together and make some awesome. Check it out, www.avsfam.com. Now, this podcast will be finding you somewhere around the Thanksgiving holiday, and we just want to tell you that we are, in fact, grateful for you and the very uncheesy version of it. We raise our glass to you. We drink some wild turkey in your name because you are truly awesome, and we appreciate you listening to us and the things that we have to say. As always, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Get a hold of us and let us know. We'll definitely think about anything that you want to tell us. Other than that, stay awesome. Be cool to each other. Happy Turkey Day.